I'm Adam Ecke, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 14 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Development. As ever, I'm joined by these two.
Evening.
Hello, I'm
That was Matt and David, so I'm sure you'll know by now. Unfortunately, some people might call this a Halloween special, bonfire special, having lost two in a week. However, we're still going to try and have some fun. We've got plenty to go through. Obviously, busy week with the two games, Peterborough FA Cup ticket news. There's been a few squad changes as well, literally today going on. So, guys, what have we got coming up on this week's show?
Coming up on tonight's show, we review the games at Boreham Wood and Braintree Town in the week, followed by interviews from Neil Smith.
We catch up with Frankie Sutherland as well.
We discuss the preview against Hartlepool.
We catch up with Omar Bagheel.
The big game coming up on Tuesday, the Kent Senior Cup against Faversham Town.
You definitely don't want to miss that one. We've got a squad update, as Jeff mentioned, with two players that have headed out.
And obviously we discuss the big ties about Leighton Orient and Peterborough in the FA Cup.
Fantastic. Obviously, we do jest there about the Kent City Cup. However, I must admit, we're doing it on the Tuesday, aren't we? Next Tuesday. Tuesday before the Peterborough game. It's football for a fiver, is it? I think it's £5 for adults and I think it's £1 for kids. Mm-hmm. I think the deal's on the website. It's only pay on the gate. There's no paid advance or anything. I must admit, two things. A, big opportunity for some of the players that haven't been involved. B, maybe some of the under-23s will be involved, which would be great for them. And it'd be quite nice, actually, to be in Hayes Lane. It would remind me a bit of the old days, I think. With the, no idea what the crowd will
100,
be.
100, 200 fans.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting.
Football under floodlights, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. Right, nevertheless, let's get going. I suppose we're going to have to start with Boreham Wood away last Saturday. Matt, you were on duty, provided us with all the coverage. Obviously, no live commentary, because that would have cost £50 plus VAT on an invoice.
Absolutely.
But nevertheless, you did provide a Twitter update, so I'm sure everyone who listened appreciated that. What happened?
What went down? Well, I have to say it was a good performance from Bromley, and I think the result is unfair. Particularly first half, Bromley played some absolutely fantastic football, some really nice attacking moves, and the pitch at Boreham Wood, as a lot of you will know, is a fantastic surface. We were able to play a very good passing game. We went ahead through Omar Bagheel just shy of the half hour mark. A good goal, header from a corner, bullet header, and he played really well. Unfortunately, on the stroke of half time, Well, Boreham Wood drew level. Very lucky goal. Cross came into the box. I think it deflected off two Bromley players and the Boreham Wood player just scrambled it over the line. And then second half, although we still played well, we weren't quite at the level we were in the first half. Boreham Wood made two changes and one of them, Ugwu, scored with his first touch and that's how it stayed.
Well, I think obviously Neil shared your clear disappointment in that game. I think Neil clearly shared that in his interview after the game with you.
Neil, a bit of a disappointing result given that arguably we dominated the game up until their second goal.
Yes, I thought first half we were playing extremely well against the wind, against a team that obviously had a great result on Tuesday. So, to go a goal ahead, and I thought Omar was extremely vital for us today, was very disappointing. But I think it was the goal that just before half time that sort of put us on the back foot and put them on the front foot. So, I am disappointed. I don't think we deserve to win, but I don't think we deserve to lose.
A big threat from a set of pieces again today. If luck was on our side, maybe could have gone a different way.
No, that's right. Obviously we scored. We had another couple that just went wide. I think Mecky hit the post as well. We did as much as we could to try and score a goal. I think some of the decisions went against us when Omar was through and stuff like that. But, you live and breathe by what you can create. And I don't think we created goal scoring opportunities, but as I say, I don't think they did either.
A little bit frustrated with the manner in which we conceded the second goal.
Yeah, as soon as they come on, Josh Amira and Gozy, we knew they were a threat from set pieces, and as soon as they got the corner or the free kick or whatever it was, we knew it'd be dangerous. And then that's the one chance they've had. I think other than that, we've defended brilliantly. I thought Rooney and Jack Holland, Brins and Woody had kept them out. Not to be.
Arguably, David Gregory didn't really have a save to make other than the goals. What do you say to your players after something like that?
I'm disappointed, but we've been on a run. I think we've got one defeat in seven. We've got to go again. You know, we've got to make sure that we pick ourselves up. We've got a game on Tuesday. We'll sort everything out on Monday and make sure we come again.
Debut for Joe Quigley today as well.
I thought he'd done extremely well. I thought he'd come on and gave us another body up there that was putting himself about, and there were a couple of ricochets that sort of went around the box. You just needed someone to go and put their foot on it. But you know, he's a new player, he's a young player, he's someone we're going to try and develop and hopefully get the best out of him.
Tuesday won't be easy at all. Braintree are side scrapping down there, and we'll come to say
that's right. They won today, so we know they're difficult, and we've got to make sure that we're up for it. We will be. I don't doubt that. The boys gave me everything today, as much as they have done the last few weeks. We just didn't have that run of the ball today.
Well, Neil, catch up with you after that one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wasn't to be at Boreham Wood on the Saturday, and as Neil referred to, they're up next was Braintree Town at home. Obviously, we're going to go through the game itself, but ahead of that, I must admit, Matt, over 1,000, just I think 1,080 was a crowd down at Hayes Lane for a Tuesday night against Braintree. With all due respect, I thought that was quite an impressive crowd, really, considering.
Very impressive as well. You've got to factor in the weather. It is incredibly cold at the minute. And
I think Braintree brought a few.
They did,
Was there 30 odd? I'm not sure.
I think maybe, 50.
Well, it was segregated, so we don't have an official figure. But
no, it's difficult, isn't it? But like you say, Jeff, not with all due respect, a big side in this league coming down, so not likely to attract the crowds on a Tuesday night. So it's a really, really good attendance. So thank you, obviously, to all those who braved the conditions and came.
Obviously, all those in attendance were treated to goals. Fashion we'd hoped, though.
No, not in the majority's favour, unfortunately. Did end 4-2 to the visitors, and our seeming curse against Braintree carried on. I can't remember the last time we beat them, Jeff. I don't know about
definitely
you.
Definitely our bogey team. I still have nightmares about the FA Cup game.
Yeah, it wasn't the best, unfortunately. A very poor first half, and a slightly better second half, but still, credit to Braintree. They played a very good game. We, unfortunately, were not at the races.
Obviously, in terms of the lineup before the game, I think Omar wasn't involved. He ended up coming on, actually, I think, if I remember. Obviously, from bits and pieces that I was hearing, obviously, Omar was coming out as one of the players who sort of stood out as obviously, I don't know whether it was work rate, effort, etc.
Omar was fantastic. He really was. He came on and changed the game, and it was that sort of 15-20 minute period after his introduction that sort of swung the game in Bromley's favour. He, of course, came on, scored within 5 minutes, had a few other opportunities, and he really made Bromley believe they could get back into the game. Unfortunately, we did concede the fourth goal after getting back into the game at 3-2. We did concede the fourth goal on the counter-attack when we were on top at the time, and that was a bit of a sucker punch.
Yeah, and obviously Matt, you've caught up with Omar later on in the podcast. Obviously, game aside as well, though, something I must mention, we also had the pleasure of welcoming we always have the mascots every game. We try and get as many youth teams down for the game as possible. We also had the pleasure of welcoming our first ever girls team.
We did, yeah. It was absolutely fantastic. Big thank you to all the coaches of the under-12 and under-13 girls sides for bringing them down. There's about 20 of them, Jeff, and they doubled up.
Any under-12s, under-13?
Under-12s and under-13 girls. Yeah, they doubled up two girls to a player. I must admit, taking them on the pre-match tour as well into the dressing room, it was a very different experience to taking the boys in there. They were very loud, but they seemed to have a really, really nice time.
I saw there is a great photo, I must admit, of the sort of team shot in the dressing room.
Yeah, they absolutely loved it. And it was great, obviously, to see them all in their Bromley kits as well. They went and had a kickabout, came back to join us for the game, and did the penalties at half-time as well, which I absolutely loved. So a real pleasure to welcome our first ever Bromley girls team mascots to a game.
That's brilliant. Obviously, we do have to touch on the result, and Matt, you managed to catch up with Neil after the game to get his thoughts.
Neil, not to beat about the bush, a disappointing evening.
Yeah, very. The first half was so below par. It was untrue, especially after the last few weeks. As good as we were in the first half against Bourne Wood, and that was poor today. I won't go through them, but I could probably name five players who weren't playing as good as what they should have been doing.
And to fight back into the game and then fall to a sucker punch right at the end must be frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. You know, brought Omar on, changed it a little bit, put it up front. Obviously brought Mark Anthony on. We looked a little bit secure at the back, obviously without their worldie of a goal. But even at 3-2, I thought we were going to come back. And obviously when you're pushing forward, you're going to get hit maybe on the break, and they did. It was the first half I was disappointed with. You know, we prepare for a a game like Braintree. We know they're very direct, they're very energy based, and we didn't cope with it first half.
Very, very difficult to take positives from that match, but your two strikers getting goals tonight.
Yeah,
Joe,
no, the positives, I thought Joe Quigley coming in as a starting debut, I think it showed us what he can do. I think Omar obviously couldn't start the game, we had tight groins and hamstring, so it was one of them, we didn't only threw him on because we had to, showed what he can do. They were the only pluses. I thought Frankie Raymond as well had a good game, but you know the others are very few and far between.
And we welcome Hartlepool to Westminster Way Stadium Saturday. It's going to be another difficult match.
Yeah, it will be if we play like that. We play like that, any game's going to be difficult no matter who you're playing. And after the last few weeks of having that good run, maybe people thought we'd cracked it, and you don't crack it. You've got to keep on working hard, you keep on doing the basics, and we didn't do the basics well enough tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Matt and Neil not beating around the bush there. obviously not an enjoyable evening in the end.
No, the only positive really at that stage was the ticket sales for the Peterborough.
Oh yeah, no, it started off well, that's not it.
Yeah, we had a good queue through the door, Jeff.
I was saying a big thank you to everybody who was patient, showed their patience with regards to queuing, etc. in the office. I think the queue for the office was larger than the queue for the turnstiles at one point. I think in terms of Peter Brussels, obviously we'll come on to them later on in the podcast. But a fantastic response so far to that. Well on the way to a sellout, so that's great news.
Obviously, the players this week, they were back to training the day after. And Matt, you managed to catch up with Frankie Sutherland, and after heads are called, he gave this interview.
Frankie Sutherland, thanks for joining us. Obviously, two defeats on the spin. The first one, perhaps we deserve more?
Yeah, I think obviously when you lose a game, we sort of look back, and I think the general consensus was performance-wise, I think Boreham Wood was at not a bad level. And we spoke about what we can do to sort of turn a good performance into 3 points. And unfortunately, it didn't happen at all. We were poor in the night, and it kind of showed. So, yeah, sort of back to the drawing board, and we'll work hard now. And we've got three tough games coming up with obviously Hartlepool, Peterborough, and then we've got Orient as well. So it's going to be a tough stretch. But if anything, I think sort of what we've seen is that against the better teams, we've performed slightly better. So it may suit us. So, but yeah, we're all looking forward to it now, and we've definitely things to improve on.
And we know there's character in this squad. We've seen a couple of difficult results earlier this season, and we really have bounced back from it.
Yeah, definitely. But it's probably now trying to get that consistency. We had a good little run after a bad result at Solihull, but we've also picked up two defeats now. So if we can sort of get that consistency now when we do pick up a good result, and sort of limit the sort of bad performances or bad results, then we'll be okay. But we're still learning and improving.
And after lots of away games last year, nice to be drawn at home in the FA Cup and to a very good side as well. What's your reaction to the draw?
Yeah, well, first of all, the mileage has come down because we had some far away ones. But no, it's going to be a good game. They're going well. Experienced manager. But it's nice, you know, we obviously had the Rochdale game last year, but, you know, I think the boys have said at home, you know, a good crowd in here on this pitch, I sort of fancy us to beat anyone on our day. So we're looking forward to it. There's nothing to fear. Got lots of players in this group that have sort of played in the league and know the level, so nothing to fear, just a concentration now, sort of preparing for what they do, their goods and their bad sort of stuff, and we'll go from there.
And how are you feeling personally? We know you've obviously recovered from an injury earlier this season. You seem to be back to full fitness now and playing well.
Yeah, no, obviously it's never nice to sort of be injured or have little niggles, whatever, but sort of I'm over that now, and had a few consistent little run now of games, so. But yeah, I'm more important about the sort of getting 3 points and getting a few more wins on the board.
Frankie, best luck for Saturday, and thanks for joining us. So,
thanks, Matt.
Always great to hear from Frankie there. Obviously, talking of wins, our next opportunity to get points back on the board is obviously on Saturday. We welcome Hartlepool United to Hayes Lane. Hopefully another good crowd, Cook.
Yeah, fingers crossed, and hoping for a big one back on Saturday, like you said, Jeff. And Hartlepool currently ninth in the table. Lost their previous two games against Wrexham and Sutton. And obviously,
yeah, I think even on the form guide, what are they, 5 points from their last six games,
yeah,
compared to our 10?
That's it. So they are vulnerable and have been in the past couple, but obviously following two defeats like us, they're going to want to win as much as we are. Hartlepool's last win come against Kidsgrove Athletic in the FA Cup fourth round qualifier.
Whenever I think of Hartlepool or Leighton Orient, I just think to that 1 week. Was it last season?
Yes.
When we played Leighton Orient on the Tuesday night and yeah. won 6-1. 6-1. And then we played Hartlepool on the Saturday and won again. I can't remember what the score was. Because yeah. we beat Leighton Orient. Everyone said that was a fluke. That won't happen again. You're coming up against Hartlepool. They'll smash you. And then what was Hartlepool? I can't remember.
No, it was 2-1.
I think we beat them. And then, and then I think we went to Dagenham and lost whatever it was. I don't know. Yeah. But that week, I can flash back to it. I could see the ground now under the floodlights, the goals going yeah. in against Orient. And it just...
Combined, there was
I think Ed, I think the Mark Avenel, Ed Boyd were both taking the photos, and I think we got some of them up in the office. It was like, oh, what an evening. You talk about, you're never an established side, I guess, in National League. Yeah, it takes more than half three seasons, but you're like, wow, this is us, on that night.
And I think that time, Orient had just come back into the league, just dropped down to this division, and last time we played him was the FA Cup in 2011. That was a dream fixture, and we was hoping for a draw. So to win 6-1 that game.
Anyway, back to reality, back to current reality. Hartlepool on Saturday. The turnstiles open at 1:30 as normal. I believe the Ravens bars open early midday.
It is showing Bournemouth versus Man United.
Oh, tickets are cheaper in advance, right up until, I think, 1 o'clock online. Obviously, same prices as last season.
That's it. So get your tickets now at bromleyfc.co.uk.
Fantastic. What we got coming up next? I've forgotten. Matt managed to catch up with Omar, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Brilliant. Up next, Omar Bugal. Matt Hall managed to catch up with him during the week on his season so far.
Omar, so you're now well into your first full season with the club on a permanent basis. How are you enjoying it?
I'm really enjoying it. I mean, I remember when I signed here back in January and I knew Neil Smith, what he's all about. And that's why I took a step forward to sort of sign you on a permanent deal, because I knew I can trust him. And also, I'm definitely going to enjoy my time here. So I'm definitely made the right decision to sign here for a permanent deal.
And what was it in the summer that made you make up your mind? We know you had other options out there as well.
Yeah, I think the main reason was the person who's in charge here. I mean, with the chairman, Jerry, the staff members, and also the boys who have played here when I was alone here. So I really enjoyed my time here, and that's why I thought made my decision really easy to actually come in and sign on a permanent deal.
And how are you feeling at the moment? You've got three goals in your last four. You seem to be playing really well at the minute.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where as soon as you hit the run going, I mean, everything comes easier to you. I mean, especially coming at a situation where you need to score a goal and help your teammates out to get us 3 points. But all we've got to do is just keep working hard, and hopefully the score's going to just keep coming in.
And you've been playing obviously with Junior George, from who you know from last season, and now Joe Quigley as well. Have you found your new teammates?
I mean, they've been brilliant. I mean, that's what we're all about. We all graft, and that's, I think, one of the main reasons why we're all so close together. I mean, with hard work, you're not going to get anywhere. So that's one of the reasons why we sort of get on really well, and also the team spirit. So hopefully that's going to carry on for the rest of the season, and hopefully get a few more results.
And obviously we host Peterborough and Hartlepool twice in 2 weeks now, two home, really important home games. They're going to be difficult ones, but you're looking forward to them?
Yeah, massively. I mean those two games, the last two games against Braintree and Bournemouth, it's one of those tough ones, so hopefully we can learn from our mistakes and push on from there against Hartlepool and Peterborough, because there's not going to be easy opponents, and hopefully give everything we got to get a result out of them.
And we know ticket sales are going really well for the Peterborough game. It's a huge game for the club. Is it something that you as a player will relish and look forward to?
Yeah, massively. Like, it's an FA Cup game, so you never know what can happen. So hopefully we get as many people down as we sort of experienced before when we managed to get to Wembley, and hopefully get another big crowd here and get a result.
Omar, thank you for joining us.
No worries, thank you.
Omar, they're very complimentary of everyone at the club. Always nice to catch up with him. Matt, good job as ever on the old interview.
Thank you.
Right, talking about the squad, obviously a few changes this week we need to update everyone with.
Yeah, a couple of people that have come out. Obviously, Joe Quigley coming last week to bolster the strike force at the club, but departures, or I'll press on the first departure, which is permanent. Toby Adebayo-Rowlands has joined Eastbourne United, or no, not Eastbourne United, sorry, it's just Eastbourne.
Who's talking? Is that? Can you hear that?
Yeah, if that comes out of the sound. Toby Adebayo-Rowlands has joined Eastbourne on a permanent deal following a successful loan spell.
Best of luck to him, but very nice guy. Rhys Meekhams as well has gone out on loan to former club Worthing. Obviously impressed in pre-season, Rhys earned himself a contract as one of our trialists. Has played a few times this season. Now has gone to Worthing to get a little bit of game time just for a month.
Yeah, so wish him the best of luck. Hopefully he'll come back strong and fight for a place in the first team.
Absolutely, all about getting that fitness, keeping it going, getting some form going, and we're welcoming back a confident player, hopefully.
And obviously, talking about squad updates, with regards to loan players, where are we at with loan players? We've obviously got Luke from Lincoln till Christmas, is that right?
Yep.
In terms of paperwork, as far as that's concerned.
Paul Rooney,
has that just been extended?
We've extended that for a further month, so it's initially extended was, a further month. For a month. So
and he has permission that. In the FA Cup trophy comes into it, but and then obviously
Junior
well. who is loan, when is he loan? He's loan until January, isn't
he? He doesn't have FA Cup permission, unfortunately, which means he'll miss out. But yeah, as well, John Goddard, the final of the loanees of the four, I believe he does, doesn't he? I think so. We're okay with John Goddard. Obviously, he played at Gloucester and had a really good game, so yeah. That's definitely a positive.
Fantastic. Moving slightly away from football now, probably just on a personal note for you, Cookie. Obviously, yourself and Neil, I believe, are running a little race.
Well, yes.
Not so much a race, more a 26 miles and 300 and however many kilometres.
Mega race.
Stroll.
Yes, that's right. We're going to get a press release out after the podcast tonight or tomorrow. Basically,
we're doing a press release. Must be important.
Me and Neil Smith, who we did the Virgin 10K run in London this year for Chartwell Cancer Trust.
Oh, Scott did it as well, didn't he?
And Scott Brown, that's right. And
Scotty Brown.
We've just been accepted, myself and Neil, into the London Marathon on part of St Catherine's Hospice.
Unbelievable.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Obviously, a lot of people see my Twitter, my Facebook, my Instagram, and they either see photos of my kids or the football or me winding up my colleague Chloe.
Yeah, don't get me started.
That's it. Unfortunately, on a personal note, my mum passed away at the end of September. Not many people know about this, but obviously a lot more people are going to find out when this podcast goes live and when the press release is out. The people at the St Catherine's Hospice done fantastic work looking after my mum in her final week, as horrible as it was. I've got great friends and family around me that have really helped me get on. So I'd like to thank them, including Jeff and Matt and Chloe and everyone in the office.
Yourself and Neil are running to raise money for the hospice.
That's it, for
and
the hospice.
Is there a target in mind?
Yeah, the target is quite a large one. It's £5,000, which is why we're getting it out promoted now. You guys were amazing when you helped us raise over £1,300 for the Chartwell Cancer Trust for the Virgin 10K. But obviously, this is a lot more training, a lot more preparation. Something I feel I'm ready for.
Mate, David Cookie running a marathon.
I know, and think back to when I was 23 stone and couldn't walk up the stairs in the main stand. So
I'm going to pretend I wasn't invited off the place, but I must admit I did sort of chicken out.
That's it. It's a lot, and hopefully you guys will dig deep for this fantastic hospice and charity, and really help push me.
Donations are joint, aren't they? They
are joint. Yes,
that's good, because I'm not saying Neil would have raised more money than you.
he would have. Let's be honest. Neil's doing it with me. He's fantastic, very encouraging, and he wanted to run the marathon and was really pushing me to try and get a place. And when we did, he's there. So that goes out. The link's going to be on the website.
Fair play, Cookie. That's honestly, mate, a really amazing. No doubt it's going to be an absolutely amazing achievement when you and Neil do cross that finishing line. And obviously, as well as general donations, I think we're trying to do a couple of other events along the way. I think we're talking about a charity football match between yourself and the Met Police.
16th of November.
That was hilarious. I know everybody knows. I
mean, we did have a small game previously a few weeks ago on a Friday night.
Probably staff versus Met Police, wasn't it?
That's it. So yeah. It's not the Met Police. It's the local police at Bromley.
Oh, it's not the Met Police FC, the Eastern League, no?
No, it's the Metropolitan Police, the local side at Bromley and the local area that come together, and they get a team together, and we're doing that, and all donations go towards the hospice again. Brilliant. And that's the 16th of November.
Once all the details are concerned, we'll get out on the website where we still can help. Wow, I'm unbelievable cookie. I think everything.
Best of luck.
Said. Yeah, wow. Right, so. Oh, cookie's leaving us.
Oh, see you later.
See you later. Oh, he's done.
Go do some work. Sorry, guys.
See you later.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Take care.
Someone's off on a Friday night out.
I wish. Got work tomorrow. Talking about questions on the worst ground before we go.
Oh, well, we're going to cover it at the end of the podcast, but you can join in now if you want.
Braintree. See you later.
See you later.
Brilliant. Don't worry, we'll finish off. Right, back to the football. Obviously, a busy couple of weeks ahead. Saturday, Hartlepool, we've covered that. Tuesday, the Kent Reliance Senior Cup. We're playing host to Faversham. Games football for a fiver, £5 for adults and £1 for kids. Following that, we're obviously at home to Peterborough. Romance of the FA Cup.
The big one.
Sellout expected. Honestly, it's going to be all ticket. There won't be any tickets available on the day. So if you haven't bought your ticket already, head over to the website and buy it. Alternatively, we're going to be selling them from the office tomorrow. Saturday, whenever you're listening to this. After that is Leighton Orient away. Now, apologies for this. I understand there's been some confusion, a delay of updates on our part. We've actually been trying to find out latest from Leighton Orient ourselves. So obviously, they're doing football for a fiver for that game. We've confirmed we were sent 230 tickets in the post. And I've got to be honest, we had a bit of a panic up because I know for a fact we're going to take more than 230. Last year, they announced it as 380, and I think it was actually 480 or something like that. And we only know that because we had our police officers that were in the control thing and they saw the figure and stuff. Anyway, random. But I believe the away stand, actually the allocation is up to around 980 tickets if required. So there shouldn't be any problems. However, you do have to buy the tickets in advance. It is all ticket. I understand it's going to be a sellout at Leighton Orient. So you must purchase your ticket in advance. We're going to be doing it from the office at tomorrow's game against Hartlepool. We're going to be selling them from the office, and they'll also be available during the week, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, just as the Peterborough tickets are available as well. It's football for a fiver. It's £5 flat rate, isn't it? Kids, child,
for
everything.
Everyone. Yeah.
I hope that clears it up. I think the details have gone up on the website. A busy couple of weeks of games.
Absolutely. Lots of ticket selling. So do get your tickets for those if you are intending to come. Once again, both games are all ticket. So book now to avoid disappointment, I think is the phrase.
Fantastic. Question of the week. I think this has sort of gone awry, really. I mean,
last week's, let's be honest, it didn't go that well. We asked, what is your worst?
2 weeks in a row, it's not going that well. But
we've got to pull something out of the bag here, haven't we?
To be fair, it's a great question. We're not promoted enough, that's
very good question.
We just need a few more responses. Are we rolling this on?
Yes, I think
we are. Okay, so we're rolling it on for another week. Okay.
We're going to ask, what is your worst away ground to visit? And please, when you are tweeting us back, I know I go on about this, please use the hashtag Ravens Weekly because it makes the tweets a lot easier to find, doesn't it? And Facebook as well. Email us, podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. But what is your worst away ground to visit? And if you want to really go for it, tell us why.
Yeah, to be fair, Cookie's obviously covered one. I think he's of. What did he say?
Braintree.
Yeah, he said Braintree. Yeah, didn't really give you the reasons why, but I'm sure many people can put two and two together there. Right, I think that's about all we've got time for on this week's show.
I think so.
A massive thank you to everybody who's tuned in. A big thank you to Crown Ash Developments who sponsored the podcast. Tomorrow or Saturday, we're at home to Hartlepool United. So please get down if you can. I'm hoping for another big crowd. Tickets still on sale on the website up until 1 o'clock on a day of the game at a discounted rate. I think that's it. Thanks again for listening. We're going to be providing Twitter updates on Saturday, the Hartlepool game. And then obviously after that, we're at home on the Tuesday night to Faversham in the... I keep on going on about a game. I don't know. I feel like we've got so many games in such a short space of time. I feel like I keep on having to reiterate what's actually coming up.
It's going to be a nice break from sort of the league and the bigger cups as well. And it's something different. It's an opportunity, like you said earlier, to see those younger players in action that you might not get to see every so often. And like you say, good opportunity as well for first team players. Maybe you haven't been getting so much game time.
Is that Norwich Park?
I think it is. It's very early. It's only, 7 o'clock?
Cat's supposed to be scared of fireworks because Gareth's just sitting there.
Fast asleep.
He is, isn't he?
Anyway, I think we're rambling now. Big thank you again to everybody who's listened. We'll be back again next week. Until then, hopefully we'll all see you tomorrow against Hartlepool.
Thank you. The town where I come from, in Bromley, in Bromley.